The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds into all the things you have for us today. Unpack the scriptures, Lord, so it burns in our heart and makes us alive in Jesus. Amen. Well, today, the Spirit of Truth, our advocate, is our theme. I ran this question the other day with my ladies' fellowship here in the church, and they had a really good discussion, and I'm going to invite you just to kick this around for a couple of minutes with someone next to you. How have you experienced the Holy Spirit? Have a chat about that for a couple of minutes with the person next to you or someone behind you. Okay, that's been great. I think we're encouraged as we listen to each other about that, yes? Yeah. I think about the disciples that had been with Jesus, and I reckon that would have been absolutely amazing spending 3 odd years following Jesus around, seeing the things Jesus did, putting broken people back together again, delivering people from unclean spirits, getting tangled up with the religious leaders and exposing their hypocrisy. So when Jesus starts to tell his disciples, look, you guys, I'm going to leave you soon. Imagine how they would have felt about that. Perhaps disappointed, perhaps sad, perhaps anxious or afraid, or even just like a young child going, well, why can't this go on forever? But Jesus observes that his disciples are filled with grief, and yet he gives them this assurance. Truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. That word advocate, it's unusual, isn't it? What do you think of when you think of the word advocate? What's an advocate? Someone who stands in for you? Excellent. Anything else? Someone who actually speaks for you. They give you a voice and they articulate your wishes to someone else or the truth about you to someone else. Anything else? They support you. I think a favourite is in Australia we say someone who goes into bat for you. I reckon that's a really good description, but all those have been excellent as well. The Greek word is parakletos, which is really difficult to translate directly into English. But the Greek meaning of that is para, along, side, and kleo, called. The parakletos is the one called alongside us. Now, some translations just translate it paraclete, but there's a few other words that are used. Some of your translations might have the word counsellor. Well, what does a counsellor do? Well, a counsellor listens to you. A counsellor advises you. A counsellor gives you truth and wisdom and helps you to work out what the next steps are. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Another word, comforter. Not just sympathy, but empathy. Understanding. Those groans of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8 that ease your pain and actually bring healing to your brokenness inside. Encourager. I like that word. It means to put courage into someone. And I think my favourite metaphor of encouragement is like a sailboat in the harbour. And there's no wind. The sails are just hanging loose. But when the wind comes, the sails fill up and it gets moving again. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Fills us up and gets us moving again. And the other one, a couple of others there, translated as helper or friend. Someone who does life with you. and someone who always wants to do you good. Friends, this is the relational intimacy that the Holy Spirit brings us into with God, and with it the assurance that as God's loved and precious child, you are never, ever, ever alone. Is that good? You're never alone. God is always with you, and the Holy Spirit gives you that comfort and that assurance and that hope. In Greek culture, a parakletos is also someone who would come alongside you in a court of law, either as an advocate, a witness, a representative, or a solicitor. And we still have that understanding today when a lawyer comes alongside you as you're the defendant, and they speak for you as counsellor or as advocate. Yet the Holy Spirit isn't just a cold, detached professional. The Holy Spirit is a close and personal friend who always has our best interests at heart. As our advocate, the Holy Spirit will always tell us the truth. The truth about God and the truth about us. You know, sometimes we have friends, and when we tell them our plans, sometimes those plans may not be very good for us. And sometimes when we're telling a friend, we want that friend to agree with us because our mind is already made up. But if a friend is a good friend, what will that friend do? That friend will level with you, yeah? That friend might say to you, hey, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, or do you want me to tell you the truth? Friends, as our divine friend and advocate, the Holy Spirit always gives us the truth because God cannot lie. God never lies. It is against his character and his divine nature. So the question I want to address now is, how does the Holy Spirit lead us into truth? I have three main points. The first is this: the Spirit of truth reveals Jesus to us. Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Friends, in John's Gospel, truth isn't just facts or information about God. No, in John, truth is God up close and personal in the person of Jesus. It's personal. Truth isn't just an abstract idea. Truth is God for us and with us in Jesus. And Jesus is unambiguous about his claims. He says, hey, I and the Father are one. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we ever want to know the truth about who God is and what God feels towards us, we find that truth clearly and compellingly in Jesus. The Holy Spirit keeps pointing us to Jesus as the truth we all need. And sadly, we can't actually receive that truth unless the Holy Spirit is working in us and on us. Martin Luther explains this really well in his explanation of the Holy Spirit. Let's say this together. I believe that on my own, I can never come to Jesus Christ, my Lord, or believe in him, no matter how hard I try. But the Holy Spirit has called me to Jesus by the good news about him. The Spirit has led me to know and trust Jesus, made me holy, and kept me in the Christian faith. In the same way, the Holy Spirit creates the Christian church all over the world. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus from heaven into our hearts So we can make the confession, Jesus Christ, He's my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. He's my boss. He's my master. And we can address God Almighty as Abba Father, knowing that He delights in us as His kids. Is that good? Okay, the second thing. The Spirit of Truth testifies to Jesus through us. Jesus says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. The Holy Spirit is like a signpost. He never points to Himself. He's always pointing us to Jesus. New Testament scholar Don Carson writes some insightful words. This witness must always be about Jesus. It brings before the world the truth of the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. In His word, His works, His death and resurrection, with all its potential for both blessing and judgment, the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. Jesus tells His disciples then, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The disciples have witnessed Jesus' ministry, and they are to give their eyewitness testimony to the world of the things Jesus said and did, and the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection. At Pentecost, did they do that? Yes. Yes. Sorry, I've woken you all up. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave them boldness and power to testify to thousands of people visiting Jerusalem, but including the Jerusalem locals. And if you read Acts 2, basically this is what Peter says. I'll give you the short version. Jesus was a good man through whom God worked miracles and wonders, as you all know. You rejected Him and had Him killed, but God raised Him to life again. We are His witnesses. They kept testifying to Jesus. If you read through the early chapters of Acts, even when they were threatened, beaten or persecuted. Peter and John got arrested and they got told to stop talking in the name of this Jesus. And they said, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They kept testifying to Jesus. We have not seen or witnessed the actual works of Jesus, so how can we know that they happened? Well, we trust their testimony. Their testimony, their eyewitness account, as written in the New Testament documents. And as the people who have received that testimony, we also declare the difference Jesus is making in our lives. We give witness to what happened back in history when Jesus died and rose again, that has changed things for us forever. We give witness to the good things God is doing in our lives today. The journey that we're on together in this Spirit-led life. And we give witness to the hope that we have because Jesus will be true to His promises. The Spirit of God continues to testify to the world through disciples today, you and me. Amen? All right, the third thing. The Spirit of Truth brings conviction and opens hearts up to Jesus. These words from John 16, I think, are some of the most difficult ones in the New Testament. And I'm going to attempt the audacious thing to try and explain that to you. When He, the Advocate, comes, He will prove or convict the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I'm going to try to unpack these things in a moment. The word for convict has two basic meanings. One of those meanings is to help a person recognize and admit their errors. Oh, I was wrong. But also to convince them of the truth they had previously ignored. Oh, now I see Jesus differently from what I did back then. Okay, what convincing and convicting does the Holy Spirit do? Well, Jesus says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin because people do not believe in him. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to admit you're wrong? Am I the only person who has that trouble? Hands up if you've ever had that problem admitting you're wrong. Put the other hand up if you find it hard to say, I'm sorry. Three hardest words in the English language, aren't they? I am sorry. Why is that? Well, we've all got this propensity to think we are the center of the universe. It's all about me. Our preoccupation with self keeps God at a distance or dismisses him altogether and doesn't really show much interest in others because it's all about me. And I want to do life my way. Everything in the universe exists for my benefit. I am master of my own destiny. See how that works out for you, Buster? I mean, we think we are gods, and that is offensive to the living God. And God notices that, and he must deal with that. Our sin condition must be dealt with, and the cross of Christ is what God thinks of our sin condition. A missionary was showing the story of Jesus via some slides projected on the whitewashed wall of a house in a village. And as he's telling the story of Jesus, he projected up on the wall a picture of Jesus on the cross. And one of the villagers jumped up and cried out as if he couldn't help it, "Come down! Come down! I should be hanging there, not you." The Holy Spirit had brought a conviction of his own sin condition, and now he was ready to receive Jesus as his Savior. The Spirit of truth convicts the world of righteousness because Jesus goes to the Father. Jesus exposed the smug, self-righteous hypocrisy of the religious leaders. What did they do to him? Arranged for his execution. Now Jesus was going to the Father. Who was going to convict the world's self-righteous people that they fell short of God's righteousness? Who's going to do that with Jesus gone? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Friends, how are we made right with God? Can I do a whole bunch of things to make myself right in God's eyes? How many things do I need to do to make myself right in God's eyes? How many things do I need to do? I can't do enough. The Holy Spirit pierces our pride and helps us to acknowledge that all our litany of good works, standing on its own, is like a filthy rag in God's sight. It can never make us clean. The only way we can be right with God is to put our trust in what Jesus has done. We get into heaven, we get right with God on Jesus' ticket, never our own. The reason I need Jesus is because I am not as good as Jesus. I need him to make me right in God's eyes. And the good news is, he has. He has. The third thing, the Spirit of truth convicts the world of bad judgment because the prince of this world stands condemned. Who is the prince of this world? Satan, the devil, the evil one. Jesus talked about him as the father of lies. So we have the Spirit of truth and we got the father of lies. When the devil lies, he speaks his native language. He tempts, he deceives, he accuses, he robs, he kills and destroys. He wants to drag as many human beings into hell with him as he can get his hands on. Blinded by the evil one, the religious leaders conspired to murder Jesus. Yet paradoxically, that's exactly how Jesus destroys the work of the devil and brings humanity in God's restoration plans for the world. Here's the question. How does Jesus destroy the prince of this world or disarm the prince of this world? Through the cross. And Jesus tells us in John 12, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. At the cross, Jesus bears the blame that was ours. At the cross, Jesus draws the sting of God's punishment into himself. And the wages of human sin is death. He takes the death penalty in our place. In his resurrection, he proves that he has conquered the curse of death and opened up life for every single one of us and all humanity. And so when you put your hope in Jesus, death is not the end, but it is life. And death can no longer hold us captive or fear, and the devil has lost his claim to be able to accuse you or to condemn you or to take you into hell with him, because your future is connected to Jesus. That is your future. And so the devil has no claim against anyone who is connected to Christ. Is that good news? At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit convinced many of the Jews present that they had made a mistake when they rejected their promised Messiah, Jesus, and were now accountable to God for that. And in desperation and under conviction, they say they were cut to the heart and they asked, well, what should we do? Conviction had brought them to an openness of God's new possibilities. And so Peter says, repent and be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you will have life with Jesus now and forever. That's the reality the Spirit of God wants to bring us to. He doesn't just pound the living daylights out of us. He says, no, I want to show you where you've fallen short so I can give you something new. Friends, whenever you have a conviction from the Holy Spirit that there is something wrong in your life, the advocate will urge you to turn away from that sin and lead you to Jesus for forgiveness and new life. The Holy Spirit always wants to do us good. And sometimes the best thing that he can do is take the rubbish out of us, yeah? Help us get rid of the rubbish. Okay, in closing, the Spirit of truth reveals Jesus to us. The Spirit of truth testifies to Jesus through us. The Spirit of truth brings conviction and opens hearts to Jesus. And so since the Spirit of God does this, we don't have to bully or manipulate or try and trick people to trusting in Jesus. No, the Spirit of God will do that. The Spirit of God is working in you and me as we bring the love of Jesus and the truth of Jesus into their lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Let's leave that to Him then, yeah? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the gift of the Spirit. And Jesus, we thank You for sending the Spirit and keeping Your word of promise. And Jesus, we need Your Spirit. Because without Your Spirit, we cannot grow in the good things of God. And we cannot share them with others. So I pray for a fresh anointing of Your Holy Spirit in us, Lord, that we would be confident in being the children of God, covered and blessed by the blood of Jesus, people who are righteous in Your eyes because of what Jesus has done. Give us opportunities to keep praying for people, encouraging people, blessing people, showing kindness of Jesus to people, and give us opportunities to share the good things You have done and are doing and will do in our lives, always making it clear that what Jesus has given us, He wants to give to all people. We pray these things in His name, that He would be honored through us. Amen.